Good afternoon, everyone. It's kind of different standing up here like this. Now I know what those other guys feel like. Today, I'd like to relate a true story on my own behalf of overcoming spiritual death. If some of the circumstances that I have gone through you can relate to, then maybe we can all learn something. I'll start out with a little history. You see, one of my biggest mistakes was when I left the Boeing company in 1986. You know, we're not taught much about retirement, but that's not a very good excuse for not preparing for it. And I would have had almost 30 years retirement there now, but that's history. I made another boo-boo in 1991 after I had left Boeing and gone to McDonnell Douglas. I decided I wanted to go out and be a sales rep. My first year out was six-figure money. Boy, did greed set in. I knew I was going to be a millionaire. And then after the church broke up, we went to Italy, we came back up here. I worked for a little company up in Mukilteo, and I'd worked for them a short time, and they'd offered me a contract, a five-year contract for $75,000 a year plus commissions. I quit the company because the commissions weren't high enough. You know, what a fool. Anyway, I went back to the Boeing company, and as a contract engineer, and in 1998, again, I made six-figure money. But I didn't have a life. I worked sometimes 30-hour shifts. As I was reading this morning, I was relating to a story that was told in Acts. There was a guy that was watching, I believe it was Peter or Paul, I don't remember, removing demons. And this other guy decided that he would do that. And the demon came out and says, "Look, I know Jesus, I don't know you." And he beat the tar out of him. Well, when I come home from work from Boeing after a 30-hour shift and open the door, my wife would say, "Gary, I know, but you, I don't." And, you know, it's a horrible situation when you're in that type of a thing. Well, in 1999, on January the 13th, I was laid off from Boeing. And here's where my story really begins. Spiritual death, what is it? I will dramatize a little here. See, the last day that I left Boeing, as I walked out of that big building, God met me at the door. And he set me down on what I call a football tee. And he gave me the 500-yard kick. And as I was flying through the parking lot, I heard him say, "Gary, you're either with me or against me. Make up your mind, which will it be?" I must have landed somewhere near my car because I remember driving home, but I still had a lot of pride. You know, I'll get a job. I've got 25 years of background. I'll get a job somewhere. You know, it never occurred to me to seek God's help at that time. And you see, at the time, I didn't know that God was going to test me. And he did for 5 years. I went to many job interviews, and I learned quite quickly that I was facing job discrimination. I was closer to retirement age, and it seemed like job discrimination. After all, at least it's when I said it's so that I thought, I did not know at this time that my real problem was my relationship with God. After all, I'd come to church here for 30 years. I came and fellowshiped with the brethren, or did I come to a social club? I read the Bible, and I prayed sometimes. What a phony I was. A few weeks after I had been laid off, it really hit home, straight at the heart. when my beautiful wife said, "Gary, maybe you ought to spend some time with God and become converted. Who knows you better than your spouse?" I really took her words to heart. You see, some of you don't know that my wife is Italian, and she doesn't speak in parables. She speaks, a spade is a spade. So I started reading God's Word every morning with follow-up prayer, and I have to this day. But you see, when we make mistakes, it isn't just you that pay. You see, my wife has paid a heavy price for my arrogance and stupidity while all this was happening. She's had a serious physical problem and still has some of the problem. She went into depression, but she had to work to pay her rent and then worry about how we were going to financially stay afloat. Well, you see, there was one thing she had that I didn't. She had a relationship with God. And she helped me to learn how to get it as well. I spent the first 2.5 years learning how to have a real relationship with God. And the more time I spent with Him, listening to Him talk to me through His Word, the easier it was for our relationship to grow. It became easier for me to pray. And I learned real quick that it was easier to pray for you people or for those in need than myself. You see, from here, I'd like to have you just look at some of the blessings, because out of all of these, I call this the great 5-year opportunity. Not a trial, but an opportunity. You see, God put me to the test, but He was patient and He was kind. A couple of months after I had been laid off, I had received some stock options from McDonnell Douglas, and those stock options were worth our debt to the penny. So we paid off our debts, and we were debt-free on my second month of unemployment. We live in a very nice apartment, and for the last 5 years, God has allowed us to stay there. And in the summer of 99, which was the year that I was laid off, was really a tough one because I couldn't find work. My landlord knew that I'd built a couple of homes, and so he asked me if I would paint the building I was living in. And I did, and then he had another one. And so we had 5 months of rent-free, which was pretty nice at that time. And then another blessing came from him. He had an old beater car that was costing him money for repairs, so he offered it to us free. And he thought Elsa could use some transportation besides what car I had to drive. Well, I've been driving that old car for 3 years, and I still don't have $500 in it. So God blesses us even through the opportunities that He gives us. My first job came a month after the feast. I got a job with a temp as a busboy at minimum wage, working at the Boeing cafeteria, serving the engineers I used to work with. Let me repeat that. Anyway, I don't think I will. You see, God allowed me to taste humility. And He also taught me something else in this job that I had taken for granted. You see, I learned to have respect for those who serve in a restaurant. They work hard, and they get paid very little. You see, God allowed me to walk in the shoes and see and feel the same feelings as those service-oriented workers did. In the next 4 years, unemployment and many odd jobs, we managed to stay afloat financially and only with God's help. But other things happened. I began to find great pleasure in reading the Bible. I would read a book or two but I'd read it 5 times in a row of what God was trying to tell me. And First and Second Chronicles, if some of you have read it, you know that, oh, you think it's got to be boring. I really got excited about it. I read it, these two books, 5 times in a row. The history, the details, the craftsmanship, the good, the bad, the gory. It was all there. And I now realize that if you want to hear prophecy, read history. Because you see, history is prophecy in the making. God allowed us to go to every feast in those 5 years, along with the help of many of you. And I thank you. And a beautiful thing happened in our third year of opportunities. One morning, my lovely wife said, "Gary, I think you're really close to conversion." But she saw change and growth. And one of the things that happens when you start having a real relationship with God is you feel different. Your attitude, your smile, the kind words you learn to speak, your body language changes. And I was still learning in that. During the ice storm, I was had gone down to Juanita, and I was going home the back way to Kenmore. And up by, anyway, one of the stores, beyond that is a road that comes out. There was lots and lots of traffic. And there was a car waiting to come out into all this traffic, so I slowed down, and I flashed my lights 3, 4, 5 times, and they didn't come out. They just stood there. So as I went by, I, "What do you want, a written statement or something, you know?" Well, this guy had the nerve to give me the finger. And the thing about it was the biggest finger I ever saw in my life. It filled the whole window. And as I drove by, I thought, what did I deserve to do that? And then I remembered that my wife is always saying, "Gary, don't use the body language." And that's what did it. So you have all of these things that you learn as you go. John 15, 1 through 4, I'll paraphrase. Christ says, "I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch which is part of me, but fails to bear fruit, he cuts off. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit." I would like to use these verses as an example of myself. You see, God called me to be the branch on the vine and to bear fruit. And I was failing miserably. But he put me to the test. Was I going to be the branch that was cut off and burned up, or become the branch to be pruned and bear fruit? You see, bearing fruit is being a servant to your fellow man, and not just to our brothers and sisters, but to our neighbors and our friends. God said to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, spiritual death is the branch that does not bear fruit, or the servant that does not serve. You know, if my relationship with God had continued as it was, I'd probably be out in the world today. As my relationship grew, he taught me to be different, an attitude change, one with more kindness, one with love, one who can listen and not talk all the time. You know, I still like to talk, but I learned to listen. And it's amazing how much we learn when we listen to others or we listen to God's Word. We start to hear what He's saying to us. On January 13th, 2004, was 5 years since I had worked in the engineering field. And the second week of December in 2003, I got a call from one of my spiritual brothers here. And he asked me if I was interested in a draftsman job with his company. And I tell you, I was elated. I went for the interview. It was the shortest I ever had in my life. It was 5 minutes, and I was hired. So once my relationship with God got in the right direction, he started pouring out his blessings. He gave me the test of opportunities to grow for 5 years. And as I look back, I can only see the positive things that come out of this test. Now, God used a friend to get me back to the kind of work that I love, but he also poured out a blessing for him also. I believe it was either the same afternoon or the next day that he was promoted to assistant manager. Spiritual death, what is it? From the experiences I just related to you, one has to be careful that he or she does not get caught up in the ways of this world. If our relationship with God is 2 hours here at this hall on the Sabbath, or we come here only to socialize, we are on a path to spiritual death. If we only talk to our spouses once a week, we probably have a pretty poor relationship with them, and only God knows that us men don't talk to them enough as it is. But God is no different. He wants to talk to us, and we have to be patient in listening so that we can respond in study and prayer. And once we have that close relationship with God, He will pour out the blessings of our needs, not our wants, but our needs. And we will be free from spiritual death. I'd like to close with a few verses in Psalms. If you'd like to turn there, fine. It's Psalm 37. I'm going to read 3 through 7. I'm going to read this out of the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Settle in the land and feed on faithfulness. Then you will delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will make your vindication shine forth like light, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently till He comes." And then down in verse 11, "But the meek will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace."